Sci-Fi Party Line. To another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. It's just your hostess, Kat. And today we have Eric and Will, and we're going to talk about Dollhouse. We've been doing Dollhouse for since the beginning of this podcast. And I've had love, hate, and you have always been enthusiastic.
Love with the Dollhouse.
I don't know, because I personally hated the ending. The last season and the last few episodes were interesting, but they jumped ahead so far. Then they had the big reset button, and then Cutie Pie from Galactica. What was his? Paul Ballard. He died, and I don't even know what they were doing.
I think, taking this entire season as a season of episodes, you would normally, I think you would be rightly be pissed at the end. Seriously, because it's with this big thing, and that was the end? That would really piss me off.
They didn't even show the 13th episode, which would have made a lot of sense to a few other people. I mean, they didn't show it, and it was okay because it did make sense anyway, but they could have at least shown that TV.
Yeah, I agree that they should have done that. I mean, I don't like the fact that last week there was no episode for no reason. You know, it's by the way, on that last episode that should be this week, no, that's going to be next week, and by the way, we're changing the time. Why? We don't know. We have no idea. We're just doing it to piss everyone
off. How are you defending the show? How are you enjoying the show?
I'm defending the show. Well, I love the show. I love the idea. Dollhouse as a concept says a lot to me, and we've talked about it before, the whole idea of, what is a human, what is a person.
But they surpassed
more,
that.
Are you less?
They surpassed
oh,
that.
Oh, very much
they
so. Got,
they went off the rails with that. After, this second season, it just became a jumbled mess.
I think at some point, Joss has the intelligence to know that he has to please the fans, but he's not selling it to the fans. He's selling it to those corporate guys who are saying, well, we don't really like this or we don't really like that. And, he basically came out and said that the minute after they bought the concept, they didn't want to do the concept. And that is pretty evident from, even if you watch, and I don't know that I've seen all of it, but I did see bits of it, the original pilot and the actual pilot. The actual pilot was another Firefly problem where they came in and they did a really intricate, very tightly plotted, really well, this is the situation that's going to roll out pilot episode of the show. And they said, we don't like that. Get that train robbing aspect into this, Magnificent Seven kind of, horses off into the sunset kind of a thing. And that's kind of what they did with this show. It's because that first episode with Echo was good, because it's only Echo and we don't really have any, there are no sexual aspects, it's just removed. And it's okay because, people are just fronting people for fun things and not actually, sexuality or anything like that. And that was exactly what they didn't want to do. They wanted it to start over there and then manipulate it into something else. And they ended up being very, it ended up being a situation whereby, you wanted to set this up and then execute and then do that and then go into oh, so now we're doing it's you know, Echo is not what she seems to be, and yeah, she is becoming something else.
That made it a little interesting, Will. That made it a little interesting because, you know, she had strength of power, but I don't know. Eric, yes, what'd you think about just overall or what happened with the finale or this whole train wreck? Would it just talk? I don't know.
I think Dollhouse is really interesting. I mean, I think if a doll is like a blank person that is able to be imprinted with like multiple personalities or personas, then I think the show's name Dollhouse lives up to that, because the show seems to me like a show that's been imprinted with multiple personalities. And
very clever.
It's been the most difficult thing for me because most of the episodes from the first and the second season fall into one or two categories for me. Either I'm just like bewildered at how like banal some of the episodes are, just blah, like boring television. And then there's other episodes where I'm like, wow, this is engaging to me. This is like pushing some sort of envelope. I'm not sure what envelope it's pushing, but something. And it really disturbs me how much contrast there is like week in, week out. It's very, very uneven like compared to other shows. Like, you know, and oh wow, because right from the beginning I thought it was boring. In the beginning of the first season with the like story of the week, I thought, wow, this is not good. But when I started seeing, because I really couldn't see or understand what the overall arc was going to be when I first started watching it, and it only wasn't until later when I started realizing about all the alpha stuff they were setting up and started noticing the hints, that I started getting much more interested. And then you started seeing like the crafty, like Joss Whedon like twists and turns that you've come to expect if you're familiar with his previous shows. Then that the Whedon-esque stuff didn't start really sinking in until later in the first season. And then, you know, mm-hmm, I was shocked like many, I think, when we found out there was going to be a second series. And then I was
They should have left it off.
And then I was doubly
shocked. Actually, I was too.
I was doubly shocked when the second season actually premiered, and I saw it, and I was like, what? Because I was expecting so much after the last three episodes of the first season, and then it just started off with such a whimper with Apollo from BSG in the first episode.
Oh, yeah.
What is this?
What did they do with that?
What happened?
They just dropped that, yeah.
And I was
I didn't like that.
Yeah, I was almost immediately going to drop it after the second episode of the second series.
What are you talking about? You're the one that made me watch it.
Well, yeah, but then we got to the third episode of the second series. And
I think that was
the Sierra one, that which at least at this point remains.
Yeah, the Sierra and Victor episodes were.
But the big Sierra one where she was trapped by that guy.
The one with the painter and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That, at least up to now, remains perhaps my personal favorite of all. And wow, it did get interesting, but the ratings were abysmal in the second season. Really, we're lucky they even played the whole second season. We're very lucky. And well, there it is.
How was Alpha a good guy? Now they're hugging, and what is that from the finale? We don't even get an explanation for that. That irritated the crap out of me.
That was in the two seasons that we didn't get.
I mean, Mr. Pastor, sir.
Sorry. Oh yes, sure. He walked in for no reason. He was just a good guy now. No, there was a plot. There's a story. There's at least that somebody said, well, we need. Well, maybe we bring back Alpha. Well, wait a minute. What? You know, shouldn't he have changed it to this point? And they talked through it. And you know that those were the episodes.
It's
those would have been in
you can't...
season three or four. No. I think you can do that. I think you can say that sort of thing.
Okay. Whatever.
You know.
Warriors and Gardens and Tomatoes and crap. I don't know. It was all over the place. This is the worst Whedon that I've ever seen. This is just.
See, now this is the point at which I don't think you should blame Joss for the reason that this was a. I liked it.
Wasn't it
a weak episode.
What's her face? Eliza Dushku, wasn't she the executive producer or the producer? What is that about, too?
That gets her more money. I mean, literally, if you watch Dave Moranis, the woman,
Angel?
The Deschanel. Yeah, no. I'm talking about Bones.
Oh.
On Bones. They're executive producers. They're both executive producers on that show. That gets them more money.
Does that have anything to do with the writing or the direction of the show? I don't understand.
See, I don't know. From what I understand, and this is me from the outside. I haven't worked at this level on the show. But how they work it is, you know, it gives another level of pay, literally. So he gets a reduced, very much reduced cast pay, and he also gets an executive producer pay, or she also gets an executive producer pay, which covers her compensation. Now,
okay. Well, I wasn't really concerned about that. I was concerned about the level of
influence
that she had in the influence on the show.
I'm saying with an extra paycheck, they can get more level, more influence or less, depending on, you know, what they're putting in and how much they want to be concerned with that level.
So
of the
are
show.
We blaming her for the problems of this show then? Because somebody needs to take the fall for this.
Fox. Let's give it to Fox.
That's way too easy. I mean, okay, but it's so easy because, I mean, these people are suits. They could be manipulated. Yeah, they manipulate, but you got to be strong to manipulate them as well. And, you know, come on.
I think Joss's problem, if he has a problem, is he gets into these situations whereby he gets assurances, people say, oh, it's going to be fine. He walks out into it, and then everything changes in the middle of the situation.
So this is his fault. He didn't learn anything from Firefly. And this, I tell you, Dollhouse will not have the same rewatch value as Firefly, because it just won't.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I think there are, you can make points of blame of the stars in the show, chiefly Eliza. She's not as good as she thinks she is as an actress. Honestly.
Certainly,
I think she's a good actress. And that's
Eric agrees with you, I know.
No, yeah, but certainly, I think every, I mean, I don't, I cer- this show doesn't really have a strong lead, cast member. I mean, I guess it's supposed to be Eliza, but is she really, you know, that caliber? I mean, is there any other like hit show right now or lately that didn't have like at least a moderately marquee name? You know what I mean? Like, because Dollhouse doesn't really have.
Or a name they made.
What was that?
Or a name that they made. Well, another example of a show that's kind of rudderless because it doesn't have an absolute star would be Heroes.
Yeah, and look at that. That's a hot mess as well.
But
that's what I'm saying.
Although they weren't stars coming in, though, I think that, like, especially Siler and Peter emerged as, like, a marquee name, a quasi marquee name. And Heroes
makes
sense.
Siler, him being Spock and all.
Yeah, so
definitely with Siler.
See, from the start, I don't think they had a marquee name, but I think they quickly found someone to fill that role. Whereas Dollhouse didn't.
Oh, yeah, on Heroes.
Yes.
Yeah, but he got
they've kind of taken all the storylines and kind of pulled them away from these main characters.
Oh, yeah.
And okay.
Yeah,
so
you're weakening the soup.
But I agree with you that they were looking to, because, I mean, from what I understand, and it's weird because we have Eliza Dushku to thank for the show, because she had a deal with Fox because that.
I don't think that I'm going to be doing any thanking to her at all.
No, seriously. But they canceled, Fox canceled True Calling, and then she had a deal with the studio to develop a new show, and she said, I want Josh Whedon on it. I want Josh Whedon. I want to talk to these people, and they did. And what came out of these talks was Dollhouse. So I'm
So what you're saying is, she got a show. She didn't know what show it is. She said she wanted to work with Whedon. Whedon had to pull something out of his hat. And this is what we get.
That's the impression I get.
Yeah.
Kind of. Oh, okay. I don't know if I can totally be mad at Whedon then.
I think the only reason the show is even watchable is due to Whedon. And I think the only reason the show couldn't really succeed or go further was because of what Eliza just couldn't bring. Like, you know, because
ultimately, I think she didn't bring, she didn't have the marquee name that they wanted for the show.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, they want the show to be really big, and they bury it on Friday nights. And I'm like going, okay, what in this image isn't going to work?
Well, they had everything going for them initially. I mean, you had women walking around in skanky outfits, being mindless, you know, pleasure women. And I mean, supposedly that's supposed to sell. And I think when Fox figured out that's not really working out, then I don't know.
Well, if you look at it from the aspect of, you know, okay, we get women, we get them in skanky clothing, we get them with big weapons, and boom, hit series. And it's like, yeah, that's worked for them in the past, but you know, someone like Joss, who, you know, has a respect for women, which, you know, I do too. But if you look at that and think that, oh, he'll be able to produce that every week, you're like, no, I don't really think so.
Actually, I was
because
just...
He'll take that idea and make variations on it, or he'll flip it 180, where the Buffy, the person everybody's looking for, becomes the person who everybody looks to save the day. You know, the person who's usually saved. You know, that aspect in Buffy, or things, you know, or the crew of people who are just totally broken, and it's how they put it back, how they personally have to put it back together, in Firefly. Those are interesting aspects, but you can't expect them to do this up with a show that, you know, and not give him the aspects to play against different.
I was actually listening to one of the season one commentaries just earlier today, and they were actually saying, a couple of the people who worked on the show, they were saying that it was actually a decree handed down by Fox that the Fox execs were, from the beginning, uncomfortable with there being too many references to prostitution in any way. So that was actually one of the, like, rules laid down, that Fox didn't want the show to bring up that topic too much. So a lot of times...
I think that was a good move.
A lot of times they had to dance around that.
I think it was a good move.
So I make sense of it. So the Mind Dolls are not prostitutes. The rain is up. Okay, fine. No, good. No, it works for me.
I just should have went somewhere else with it. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely I agree with that entirely.
I just felt a little anger at how the timeline sped up and things were left off. I see how it was good and you don't need to know every single detail and blah, blah, blah. And it, you know, has its artistic value, I guess, but it just didn't come together well. It didn't do it for me.
Oh yeah. And another note on that aspect, cause I was listening to that commentary for Epitaph 1 and they were saying too, like that, the only reason that ever came about, that whole concept for that episode, it wasn't like necessarily initially Joss's or anybody else's idea in the creative team's head. What happened was Fox, you know, at the last minute demanded, like, they needed another episode to fill out for syndication purposes internationally. So at the very last minute, they said, hey, you guys need to just make an extra episode, like, right now. And because they really didn't have any budget at all, they were like, hey, what can we do? And according to what I was reading, they were at the same time they filmed Epitaph 1, they were filming the Series 1 episode Omega. And literally,
what is that?
Omega? Mm. That would
Alpha.
Be. No, the name Alpha. Of the episode. The name of the episode is Omega. It's the 12th episode, the one before Epitaph 1. They were filming it at the same time.
Oh, I thought this was a new TV show.
No.
I was like, ooh, that sounds cool.
No. They were filming Omega, the last episode that we saw aired from Season 1.
Oh, okay.
Right. And what they did was they said, okay, we need to make another episode, like, right now. They just took one of the location shots shoots that they were doing for Omega already at the time, literally. And they're like, hey, let's just throw like garbage around and let's just call this Future Time. And hey, writers, make up a story with that. Like, that's what they said in the commentary. Like, they were literally just handed that at the last second. And hey, you know, we don't really have any budget, but we do have this area. Let's write something that can somehow fit into this. Not only that, but also going on with the budget, like, they filmed Epitaph 1 on video as opposed to HD, as like regular film that they usually use for the rest of the series. So Epitaph 1 is a whole, like, it's almost like an independent thing from the ground up, from the writing to the shooting.
And so it was an independent thing that they pull out of their hat, and then they decided to base the entire freaking finale on it? How does that work, Eric?
I would say that that sounds like a horrible idea from the beginning, like if you just look at it written on paper as an outline. But the way they did bring it back, I feel it has a fair amount like more closure than we would have had otherwise. Like, I was actually more disappointed by how the last episode that we had where they took down Rossum. I was disappointed because I know they didn't really have a choice, but that felt so rushed to me.
The way it was Boyd.
Well, no, that was cool, but I mean, but just the whole.
That was not cool.
Why not?
I thought it was cool, but
I liked it a lot.
Why?
It made sense.
Well, no,
a lot of.
It's just not like this. It was stupid.
I like those kinds of things that make you like that really like catch you by surprise without being too ridiculous. You know, I like those kinds. I mean, those.
I know it felt pulled out of the hat as a gotcha instead of a thing that had seeds that were planted and was intricately, you know, entwined into a story that was so. No, it's just let's do Shock Jock.
It wasn't going to be another character, and then they decided to make him the big bad. No, he was designed to be that character.
The
reveal was like end of the season, beginning of next season.
Yeah. Well, in one sense, I could say you could make that fair argument that there wasn't many. Well, there weren't any hints dropped to that effect, like story-wise.
And anybody could have been him. They could have said that. They could have wrote that for anybody.
Well, wait. Because I was gonna say there, even though I don't think it was necessarily pre-planned properly like that and set up, but now that they've done it, I think you can kind of look back and see a little. It does, in some ways, fit in with his character, like retroactively, because now. It does tie into this huge love and dedication that he shows towards Echo from the very beginning. And yes, originally you could have just written that off as just like some kind of fatherly love or whatever. But now he actually has a seedy purpose. So you could say that does tie into his character in a retroactive way.
I still never really understood why Echo was special.
What do you mean?
From the beginning. Yeah, okay. From the beginning. So what, she broke in to blow up whole of Rossum, and then now she's special?
Do you know why she's special now? I mean, because they've established
that. Yeah, because she could break the doll hold over her
Because
the proper chemistry.
Yeah, she was a different vessel, a different, like, cerebral vessel than everybody else. But see, that retroactively explains why she was special from the beginning, and it retroactively explains why Boyd had particular interest in her from the very beginning. See, so in a
because she had the crazy gene that allowed her to hold multiple personalities at once. You're agreeing with me. All right.
Yeah, and this was Boyd's long game from the very beginning. Apparently, I mean, that's what we were.
To postpone the destruction of Rossum?
To plan
is that what he wanted to do? Because that's all he did.
No, really?
No, he wanted. His idea was to get Echo to make the drug that he would be able to give to his
executive. Oh, so he could drain out of her.
They would be fine when the rest of the world was in chaos, which didn't exactly happen.
There we go.
So it's a plan that we have, and there's a plan that, you know,
that's
derails the plan.
That's Cylon's plan to take over.
What plan? Never mind. At least they had a plan. But anyway. But I think if you wanted to go point by point, piece by piece, it all hangs together. It all works, you know, as you know, this runs to that, that runs to that, and it all makes sense.
Crazy.
But
no, because, you know, in this way, I think Dollhouse, this is a compliment I can pay it, because to me, Dollhouse as a whole, the whole show, the story, the structure, everything, I think it's like having a really crap erector set to start off with. Like, pieces are missing and broken and don't exactly fit right, but somehow Joss Whedon made something, wow, at least watchable and memorable on a certain level with a crap erector set. Like, in that respect, I give him, like, way props.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty good. Make a toy reference about Dollhouse. I like that. That's good. That works for me. Okay, all right.
Oh, man. So we're not seeing any Save Dollhouse campaigns, are we, or anything seriously?
No, I think ultimately that was you. Eric, that was you who was talking about making using the concept to make a Japanese story. Was that you?
That was not me, but it sounds like it's probably been done like a million times, though, I must say.
Well, no, I haven't seen it. I mean, you know,
I haven't been looking for it.
Otherwise, it's come out of Japan.
I won't be looking for it.
But I mean,
I'm done with it.
No, I think, okay, let me put it this way. This story, yes, nice ending, very good.
Universe?
I'm just saying it's over and that's that, and I liked it, I enjoyed it a lot, but I'm not really gung-ho to make another series of this, you know, in this, you know, on American television. The concept, I'm thinking, this does have potential to be made into, as we were talking before, a manga or some kind of a comic book or a book or something like that. I think there's enough depth in the concept to play around with it some more. And I think it needs more exorcism to get the more stuff out of it. And that would be very, very cool. You know, but I'm not saying.
Well, I did enjoy the Road Warrior type of guys at the end. The tech, I don't know what they were called. Tech heads. The way that I love that. I would love to see a whole show based on them alone with Felicia Day and the guy she was going back and forth with. They had a chemistry, and I would love to see the tech heads. And you know, I really love that. If we had a whole season of just that, maybe, instead of just at the last minute, then maybe I would have liked it. But I don't know. Mm. And then Paul dies at the end, and she inserts him into her.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And that was really creepy, and I didn't get it, and it was weird.
I don't think that was a perfect ribbon or bow to tie on. I did find it rather interesting. I didn't think it was horrible, like a horrible way to go out.
But they can talk to each other as if in a Caprica room. Caprica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but actually.
And that's where, what if they try to get intimate? How does that work?
But actually,
I think it works pretty well, actually.
But actually, that's exactly what I was thinking of. It was exactly like Caprica, like when they go to that dark room, you know, and they meet, you know, what they showed in the pilot as Caprica.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that a lot, but okay. Mm-hmm. You know.
My idea for this, ultimately, like I say, it wasn't very satisfying on several character levels, but as an ending, it was all right.
Yeah.
Somebody has to take Joss, you know, we need to get Joss a little puppy. Something he can play with, something he can get some joy out of, just so he can let one of these groups of characters, the lovers, work. Please. He did have one. Victor and Sarah. They worked. But, you know, come on.
It's always the side characters. Always work out their love issues. But the main
I don't think they do that. Xander and what's her name? I can't think of her name now. Oh, it's a demon woman. What's her name?
Yeah, her. I can't think of her name.
You're going to say about whatever? You were going to say something,
what? Eric? Oh, no. Earlier I was going to say, because just one more thing about the Ballard in her head thing. In a way, I just thought it was like a real... It was analogous to in real life, in the real world, where when you lose a loved one, when they pass away or whatever the case is, the way they live on is like in your memory. Like, you know, that's how you keep someone alive that you lose in the real world. And it was just, I just thought it was like a twist in Dollhouse that this is an actual realization of a not real thing. You know what I mean?
I like the way Topher died. He made his whole big thing, and then he saw the remembering wall, remember picture wall thing, and he got a little smile like, hey, look, and then blows up. I like that.
For some reason, I didn't even think he died. Like, I think he just got knocked to the ground. Well, at least that's what's going in my fanfic.
Are we correctors now? Is this what we're doing?
No slash, please.
I didn't say slash.
We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that. Girl slash, yeah, but not.
No, no. I don't hear that. Well, they seem like they made their own in there, and it lasts. Anyway, yeah.
But now that Dollhouse is over, though, I'm ready for Serenity, the sequel. I'm ready for that now.
You think we're going to get that?
Oh, I don't think we're going to get it, but I'll take it for day of the week.
Oh, hell yeah, I'll take it. But I don't get my hopes up. I don't want that in my brain and me thinking about it.
Even if they don't have the full cast, even if they don't even have the ship, I would just like to revisit that universe, the Serenity universe.
But Wash is dead.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That wasn't my whole reason for watching Firefly. And I kind of... played with this idea before. I can't remember if it was on the podcast or like an off-air conversation I had with you, but I was saying, because I can't help it, but in my mind, whenever, you know, creators like James Cameron or Lucas have like their established fictional universes, well, like with Joss Whedon, I said this before a while back, like, and I couldn't help but keep thinking in the back of my mind as I was watching how Dollhouse was playing out to the end.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Well, no, I just kept thinking this might be the beginning of the end of, like, I saw, like, Dollhouse.
How the Earth that was came to be.
Exactly. Yay. So I see it as a strange segue into the Firefly, Serenity universe. So in my mind, they're all in the same world together.
Oh, you always try to put worlds together. Ugh.
Well,
that actually makes a little bit of sense.
It does.
Especially when it's by the same creator, though. I mean, I don't usually just, you know, I don't put, like, Ewoks in Indiana Jones, but, I mean...
I know you want to, though.
But, you know, I see a certain tie there, and so in my mind...
Actually, that's a pretty good one. It's not as bad as the aliens on the Na'vi planet one that you had the other time. That was bad.
I don't think that's a bad at all, either.
Wait a minute. Am I missing episodes? What's this? Aliens on the Na'vi
You were in that episode.
You were there.
I know!
Okay. It was one of my little
comments. You didn't mean alien. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
He meant aliens from...
Alien.
Yeah, like the Ridley Scott alien, like crashing on Pandora.
Probably Jigger. I would say he would probably leap to Jigger.
But that crazy alien being loose on Pandora. No, but what I was really saying with that thing back on that show was just that those Marines, like, it was the same universe is what I was really trying to say, is that...
Right.
And the tech heads look like proto Reavers.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even think about that, because they're wearing the shoulder pads, and they get the tech, you know...
And the big vehicle that they rolled up into looks like the ships. Yes. Oh, God, now I'm excited.
Look, now we've done it. Look, you've written the actual final chapter of it.
I kind of like that finale more now.
Yeah, because I was always thinking, like, you know, 2x2, Hands of Blue, somehow that's related to Rossum. I don't exactly know how, but it is. Yeah. I can't remember. There was that company. I can't remember what their name was.
And they would put stuff into River's brain. Okay, we're going to stop.
See, there you go. Just like River when she had that spike put into her brain.
And she was in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Got the chair.
She
was a doll.
I gotta say, I really did like I like Topher.
Mm-hmm.
I like Victor's imitation of Topher.
Oh my god, that was spot on. I could see
amazingly
that.
Amazingly brilliant. Amazingly.
I could watch it all day.
Yeah, it was nice to have that brought back.
And he's gonna get played. The actor whose name I do not remember. I'm very sorry to the actor, but.
Topher or?
Not Topher, the other guy.
Oh, Inverjokaj?
Like I say, I can't really pronounce the name. But you know, he's a good-looking guy, and you know, he's kind of muscular, so he's just going to... Yeah, exactly. So he's just going to get... You know, he'll kill his boyfriend on some episode of some CSI somewhere. And because I read that Sierra, I can't pronounce these people's names. I'm sorry.
Dietjen Lachman.
Dietjen Lachman. From Australia. Okay. But she is going to be on CSI.
Doing what?
Filming. Going to be a victim or something. I don't know.
Ah, that's nice.
But she just mentioned it on her Twitter this week.
Sweet.
She's been doing that, yeah. But it's, you know, and
Melly's name is Miracle. Sorry.
I'm sorry, what?
Melly the...
You obviously heard it backwards. The character name is Miracle, and her name is Melly.
Oh, God. Okay, anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I know, but it's
IMDb.
It's a strange thing. But, but these... The one thing about the show and these actors, mm-hmm. all the actors, was they've got a way to act and stretch in different ways for their character. Like Victor and the imitation, you would never know that he is a brilliant mimic and B a comedic actor. Who would think of him in comedy?
Yeah.
But now
he was
kind
of dry earlier, you know. You really
he's a gruff guy, and he's got kind of a deep voice. But no, but he does the imitate. Oh, look at me, I'm bizarre. You know, that's an actor, you know, playing a role.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing with the other characters in that they did, you know, they had great range, and they did from.
Mm. Are we going to use the word range for Dollhouse?
Well, not Eliza, not Eliza, not Eliza, Eliza, not
Eliza. I'm sorry to say this, Eliza. I'm sorry. I don't mean to pick on you, but I am saying everybody but. They played range. And probably Millie.
But you know, she's really nice, though, Eliza.
I'm not saying that.
I say that the same thing. It's just that I know I feel bad from saying that she doesn't have range as well. I feel bad as well because she's nice person, but it's just the...
I'm also saying she's not a bad actress. I'm not saying that. There are people who play parts.
I don't know. She's the same chick.
Yeah, she plays a chick. And she can play a chick and a bad chick, and that's cool. And I like kind of...
But they tried to force her to have this range, and it didn't work. If she just went around kicking ass, yelling...
This is my shanking people.
Yeah, see, Eliza needs to embrace like the Denzel Washington method, and just be her. Like Denzel is Denzel. I don't care what movie he's in. I don't care if you add. I don't care if you add gray tint to his gray highlights to his hair or rough him up and put him in a homeless man outfit. It doesn't matter. It's still Denzel.
Will Smith.
He's still gonna have. Well, I don't know. Did you say Will Smith?
Will Smith is always Will
no,
Smith.
Well, no, Nicholson. Actually, no. Will Smith, I've seen that guy transform.
No, I've seen him do it a couple times. Let me say this. Will Smith should always be Will Smith. But Will Smith is an actor. He's a movie star.
No, but I think Will Smith, though,
that's
has
a
two...
different
no,
kind
no,
of
no.
acting.
No, no, no. I think Will Smith has two settings, though. He has no, because Will Smith fits in all his movies can be put into one of two categories. Either the one category, which is you get the fun Will Smith, like in Men in Black or Bad Boys, whatever, or you get the dramatic turn Will Smith that you
I
see
am
like in Ali and like 7 Pounds and these other roles. So he's more flexible.
Yes.
But Denzel is Denzel.
Where he actually acts, and one's where he phones it in. Is this what we're saying?
Well, not like phones it in, but I mean, it's just fun times. So, you know,
he emails it in.
Yeah, but Denzel, it's like in his contract. But Denzel has to have at least 3 major speeches, like in any.
Yeah. Did you just see Book of Eli or something? Are you disappointed?
No, I did not see it. Actually, I wouldn't mind seeing it eventually. But, no, I mean, Denzel's Denzel, but I don't hate him. It's just, it always cracks me up.
I'm a little offended at you. You put him on Denzel Washington level.
It's his
approach.
And I'm just saying Eliza should do that too. She might as well embrace Eliza, and everyone just knows Eliza's Eliza.
Yeah, that's.
And let's not try to.
I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, there are people who, between acting roles, go out and do plays or theater or workshops.
Hell no!
I do not see Eliza doing that, which is fine. I mean, you can have a legitimate, actual, honest to goodness career.
But this should have been a strong showing for her, though, Will.
I agree. They
tried too hard.
I'm not trying to say I don't hate Eliza. I'm just trying to get that out.
See, unfortunately, they couldn't get Summer Glau.
I honestly don't hate you. Honestly.
Unfortunately, Summer Glau couldn't be Echo from the very beginning.
There you go. That's the point of the character would be Summer.
And in a funny way, Summer Glau, she does play Summer Glau in every role I've seen her in.
She does.
But it just works,
pretty
though.
Much.
But it works. It does. Whether she's You're River right. Song or Terminator, it doesn't really matter.
Did you see her in The Unit?
Oh no! I did not see that.
Unit.
No.
With the Allstate guy.
No, she was on that.
She was on that. She played a character who kind of played through, but again, some very intense moments. But she was pretty much her having these intense moments. So she was like.
Yeah,
okay,
but Summer Glau was compelling to watch. You want to look at her. It doesn't make you don't kind of cringe. Like, she doesn't pull you out of.
She
pulls you in so far. And Eliza, when you're looking at her, it's just like, I'm a little uncomfortable. What's
true.
Going on?
I that's exactly how I feel. That's exactly how I feel.
The episode that showed this up to me from Buffy was the episode where she uses the dagger of Kamui or whatever the thing
she
is.
She was good in Buffy. She was perfect.
No, but there was the episode. No, the episode where they exchanged personalities.
Oh.
So it was mostly on. It was on Sarah Michelle.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Thank you. Sarah Michelle Gellar, and she had to play Eliza. Faith.
That should have been easy.
But she nailed it. All of her personality, all of her affectations, she had it. Oh, she had it down. She was really, really, really good. Then they had scenes with Eliza being Sarah, and she didn't have it down. She tried. Oh, Lord, she tried. But it didn't work.
Okay, so we know Eliza, I would probably be on the same caliber of actress as her, so I'm not gonna shut up.
You're not supposed to get that.
But let's just, we're gonna step aside from that. And what do we see in the future for some of these actors? Have we heard what they're doing next, any of them?
Well, like I said, Douche Geek, what's her name again?
She's on CSI,
CSI.
Dai Chen.
But so she's on. That's kind of what I see for them coming up. I mean, hopefully they get on a good show. Like J.J. Abrams has that new show with the spy show, but it's co-starring the girl who was Martha Jones's sister.
Oh.
Yeah, her little sister. A very nice looking woman, a very good actress, I think.
Yeah.
And so that looks like it's going to work out. So
Look at this. Eliza Dushku is going to be in Ghostbusters 3.
Yay. And everyone's great rejoicing.
Okay, guys, any last thoughts on Dollhouse at all? Anything?
It was fun, and I know you said there's not much rewatch value, but what I have been rewatching it from time to time, and it actually is a lot more interesting than you'd expect going back. It actually is.
God bless you. I'm not watching that stuff over.
Yeah.
Will, last thoughts on Dollhouse for you?
Well, when they finally canceled the show, I was really enthusiastic because, hey, this means Joss, who has stated that after the show, he's not going to do anything else for television. He's just going to do web stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited
like,
about
it. Yay! And then I hear he's talking to Fox about doing the show for
Dude, you got to be making a joke.
For right? FX. For FX. Apparently, they've convinced him that's going to be different.
I don't know if I can handle that.
It's the abused friend. You have a friend in a relationship, they're being abused, you want them to stop, you point it out, you talk to them at great length, and then the next week you find them in the bar.
We can have Joss co-produce the new Torchwood on Fox with
okay, I'd go for that.
I'm sorry, I just lost hearing. I can't hear that. What was that? No. Could you see Russell T. Davis working with Joss Whedon? Don't think so.
I could actually.
I don't think so.
It would be interesting though too, because I know RTD originally said when he created Torchwood, he was very inspired by Buffy. He really wanted to make like a British equivalent to Buffy as far as the interaction of the characters and everything like that.
Didn't work.
I don't know. It's still up for debate.
I don't know.
I'm going to let y'all stop talking and saying crazy stuff and close the show. This was Dollhouse, guys. Thank you, Will.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. You can find us at scifipartyline.com. You can give us a call for put in your input, 773-336-2686. That's 773-336-2686. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
I'm just a girl, you're just a boy. This is my heart, it's not a toy. So what's with you playing with my mind? We used to be cool, this used to be love. Now it's become something like a job. Like it or not, maybe things were changing right before our eyes. I tried to be a picture-perfect girl, but you were in your own fantasy world, trying to control me like some kind of Barbie. But that just ain't me. 'Cause I ain't a doll, this ain't a dollhouse. You're way too old to be putting me down in a dollhouse. No, I could never be stuck living life like this behind these four walls. 'Cause I ain't a doll. You call the shots right down in my shoes. I liked what you liked 'cause you told me to. And I don't think that you could even tell. I fell out of love, but it never showed. I gave up on us so long ago, but you'll never know. Baby, don't pretend like you know me so well. I tried to be a picture-perfect girl, but you were in your own fantasy world, trying to control me like some kind of Barbie. But that just ain't me. 'Cause I ain't a doll, this ain't a dollhouse. You're way too old to be putting me down like this and playing around like this. 'Cause I ain't a doll, this ain't a know I could never be stuck living life like this behind these four walls. 'Cause I ain't a doll, I'll never be made of plastic. So glad that my heart's elastic. No matter what you do, I'll bounce back off of you. Cut me, but I'm not bleeding. I try to be a picture perfect girl, but you are in your own fantasy world, trying to control me like some kind of Barbie, but that just ain't me. I ain't a doll, this ain't a dollhouse. You're way too old to be putting me down like this and playing around like this. 'Cause I ain't a doll, this ain't a dollhouse. No, I could never be stuck living life like this behind these four walls. 'Cause I ain't a doll, and I come with imperfections, epitome of perfection. If you can't understand loving the way I am, then you're no good for me. So glad I kept my receipt.
We don't hate you, Eliza.
Hate is a strong word.
Yeah, I know.